If you just got a burning testimony, why don't you stand and share it with us while I grab a guitar? Anybody?
Nobody.
Somebody.
Nobody.
I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody. None of us can. I think we could thank the Lord for an eternity, and I hope that's what we're planning on doing. Amen, but it still wouldn't be sufficient thanks for what God has done for us. And nobody can tell it like you can, what the Lord has done for you. Someone else while we're hunting a key. This is your chance.
I thank Him for another day. Amen.
Amen.
You got up this morning. So I
reluctantly, but we got up. Amen. Praise God.
I'm still walking.
In this world, we have our troubles. Sometimes lonesome and sometimes blue. But the hope of life eternal brightens all our hopes and views. I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this old world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. Now I'm growing old and feeble in this world of sin and shame. Seems I hear the angels singing a new song I'd like to sing. Well, I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this old world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. Well, in this world, we have our troubles. Sometimes lonesome, sometimes blue. But the hope of life eternal brightens all our hopes and views. I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this old world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. Can you say amen? I don't want to get adjusted
to this world in any way whatsoever. Don't want nothing here to hinder me when it comes that time, amen, to go to glory, where the Lord Himself has prepared a glorious place. Amen. How many is thankful for that?
Amen.
Well, glory. If you're blessed tonight, give the Lord praise. Amen. Amen. Go with us tonight to the book of Revelation, chapter number 21. Would y'all be terribly offended if I removed my cloak? I promise that's as far as I will go. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared. Everybody say prepared. As a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things, everybody say former things, are passed away. Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your love, your mercy, your abundant grace. For this day and this opportunity to gather here tonight, God, in this sanctuary to praise and worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for those who've gathered here tonight, God, and thank you, Lord, that we can be here tonight in one mind and one accord in anticipation of your blessings and your anointing. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we do have a better place to go. Father, we thank you for that home prepared, that Jesus Christ himself went away, that where he is, we may be also. Father, how we long for that day. But Father, until then, let us keep on keeping on. Father, let us continue to walk that journey. God, as you hold our hand, help us, Lord, to understand and know that this world is not our home, that we are, in fact, headed to a better place. God bless you. Give the Lord praise tonight. You may be seated in the presence of God. Many, many thoughts go through my mind as I begin to read the book of Revelation, and especially what John was blessed to be able to see in his vision, in his experience with God. I believe that God wanted to give us just a peek into the glory, the majesty that he has prepared. Now, granted, John the Revelator was very adept at writing what he saw and revealing what the Spirit of God was able to transform into his mind. But can I tell you tonight, even the most eloquent and the most profound writer could not do justice to what the Lord has in store for his people. Everybody say, for us. If you're born again, you're part of us. You're part of the family of God. How many is thankful to be an heir and a joint heir to the kingdom of God? As we read this and we imagine the glory, we imagine the majesty, we imagine the streets of gold, the walls of jasper, the river of life, or the tree of life, and the crystal river, and all of these things that have been so gloriously and beautifully exclaimed in the Word of God, we long for that day where there's no more issues, no more problems, no more trials. And here the Bible tells us that all the tears are wiped away. I was thinking this particular week, you know what? In all of the life that we have and the abundant blessings that God gives us and the beauty and the majesty that God has allowed us to be a part of, how many knows we still live in a beautiful world? I know it gets a little topsy-turvy sometimes. I know it gets a little out of balance, a little out of sequence sometimes, and that's because of people, amen? It's not the world, it's the people in the world that causes these problems and issues. And I know that there we look around and it's because I believe that that is what we hear the most of. We hear mostly of the turmoil. We hear mostly of the problems. We hear mostly of the evil and all of the vile things that are going on in the world. But how many knows there's still a remnant? Thank God. There's still a people. Glory to God. There's still a child or children of God who are sold out to the Lord and longing and looking for the day at the return of our Lord and Savior to catch us away from all of this turmoil, from all of this strife, and transplant us into a glorious world that he himself has prepared. I thought about the reference that that John the Revelator said when he said that it was adorned and prepared, rather, as a bride adorned for her husband. You husbands, do you remember the glorious day that you made that lovely wife your bride? Do you remember that beautiful day? And let me tell you, the preparation that went into that day, my goodness, how many had more than a month
what do you call it? Not preparation of engagement. Yeah. It's been so 42 years, I forget some of those words. How many had more than one month engagement? How many had more than 2 months engagement? Anybody more than three? Four? Wow. Man, y'all believe in planning, don't you? Any more than five? Six? More? A year? Anybody had a year preparation and engagement for a year? Man, how many was promised at your birth? My Lord. Okay, a year. Let's say, anybody more than a year? My goodness. So imagine that the most eventful day in your life as far as relationships go, and you have a year to get ready. My Lord, brother. We had 6 months, and I got so tired of looking at material. I went in material shops, and I'd never been in a material shop before. Looking at material and colors and the plates and who was going to do this and who was going to do that and all of that. And I was thinking, my Lord in mercy, all the preparation that went into that. And then finally the day arrived. How many remembers the day that arrived? And you couldn't see your bride, but she was prepared. She was as elegant as she possibly could. I mean, everything from her toenails up was ready and prepared. And especially if she'd had a year to get ready. Mom and Dad, they didn't have quite that long. I think they called up a preacher, and they was already pretty much ready to get married, so they didn't have a long engagement. But those of you who had a long engagement, there was a long time to get prepared. My point is that probably every minute detail had been rehearsed over and over again. Did you practice the wedding? Rehearsal? Walk through with somebody who wasn't your bride, because it wasn't supposed to be what? Bad luck if you walk with your real bride or something like that. I don't know what it was. But everything was just right. I mean, down to every little minute detail. The cakes, the cookies, the napkins. Mr. and Mrs., you remember those? Still have some of them? Every little detail went into the preparation of this wonderful day. Even the photographer, you have to make choices, and you go through and tell them what kind of shots you want and what kind of book you want. And just all these wonderful things that we were trying to get in 6 months' time. And I realized then we should have probably set aside a year to try to get everything ready, but prepared. And then that day came, and then you were standing there by the preacher, and basically the lump that was in your throat was so big it was probably spreading the knot on your tie. And in 1975, that was a big, big tie. I mean, big, big collars. Lord have mercy. I look at my wedding pictures now and I'm saying, how in the world did anybody ever talk me into wearing that stuff? But then, you know, the doors open. The music plays. Preacher says, please rise. And you turn around and you see your bride. And it was worth the wait. I said, she was as perfect could be. Because she had planned, she had prepared. And I mean, even her hair, everything about her was in place. And I don't know why. Because all I want to do is hug her and mess it up. But she was prepared. And I think about this, that John the Revelator chose this analogy, chose this example, because in the Jewish time, there was a lot of preparation that went into a marriage. You remember Jesus turning the water into the wine? That was at a marriage celebration. It was a big, big deal. So John was very familiar with all of the details that went into making a marriage as close to perfect as it possibly could be. And he chose this example to tell us that I, John, saw this holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Every little detail
was taken care of. That lets me to know that when Jesus Christ went away to prepare us a place, He didn't just prepare any old place. You and I cannot fathom, neither can it enter into the heart or the mind, what the Lord has prepared for us, for those who have been born again, for those who have sold out to the world and said, "This is not my world. I got a better place that I'm going to. I got a brand new home. I got a place that is without turmoil. I have a place prepared for me." Glory to God. Where there'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. No more tears. And thank God, no more death. Songwriter said, "Wait till you see. Wait till you see what the Lord has prepared." That glorious new Jerusalem as He described it. Then, if that wasn't magnificent enough, He heard a great voice out of heaven saying, I begin to think about that. Not only are we going to be overwhelmed with the beauty and the majesty that the Lord has prepared for us, but just the very sound of heaven. My Lord, glory to God. Hey, if you can't carry a tune, get ready. You're going to be able to carry one for an eternity. Hallelujah. If you love praise and worship, get ready. Glory to God. If you don't have a choir robe, get fitted. Because you're going to receive one. A robe of white, the Bible says. You're going to be part of an angelic choir. Glory to God. We're going to sing praises unto the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am. Glory to God. We're going to praise Him forever and ever and ever in a better place. So I'm here to tell you tonight, don't get adjusted to what you're going through. Don't get adjusted to the turmoil. Don't get adjusted to the pain. Don't get adjusted to all of the evil that is in this world. I know we have to endure it, but I'm telling you, through the Word of God and through the promise of Jesus Christ, there is a better place. Put your hands together for that better place that you and I are going to receive when we leave this walk of life. Glory to God. A better place. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Hallelujah. Praise God. Heard all of my life that this is the temple of God. Praise God. There was a group of people several years ago that believed literally what the Bible's talking about at the catching away of the church. So much so that they believed that if they were outside of the walls of the church, that they would be left behind. You remember reading about it. It was in all the news several years ago. They all gathered inside the church waiting for the return of Christ, that He was going to catch away the building. Can I tell you that my Lord and Savior is not impressed with the building? Glory to God. He's not impressed with the beautiful walls down here and the ceilings and the beams and the lights and the chandeliers and the carpet. That doesn't impress Him, because He has prepared a place where the very streets that we're going to walk on are paved with pure gold. Glory to God. He owns the whole world. Praise God. He has a glorious place. This building's not what He's concerned about. The name on the sign out there is not what He's concerned about, but He's concerned about a people who've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and who have had their sins remitted by that refreshing of His Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because the tabernacle of God is with men. Hallelujah. And when that tabernacle of God that is with men decides to transform me from a material world and place me in to a spiritual world, I don't know I can't describe to you other than what the Word tells us about heaven. But I would believe with all of my might it's going to exceed our expectations. Think about the most beautiful place that you have been able to visit or to see on this earth. And multiply that time, I don't know, a million zillion, I guess. And you might get some kind of idea of that better place that the Lord has gone away to prepare for us. What's going to make heaven special is not necessarily the streets of gold. However, wouldn't it be beautiful to walk down the streets of gold? I don't believe it's going to be the magnificent walls of jasper, although that would be glorious to be able to behold. The gates of pearl. Isn't it amazing that they use these really expensive jewels and expensive materials here on this earth to make streets and walls and gates out of in heaven, to give us some kind of idea of the vast greatness that our God is able to own in this whole wide world. You know, this is His world. He made it. And imagine the beautiful, most beautiful place that you've ever seen, and it'll pale in comparison to that better place that the Lord has prepared. And the very sound. They tell me that certain songs can bring back a memory of years ago. And I kind of hold to that a little bit. Sometimes you can hear a song. How many knows what the oldies are? That's me and Brother Jim and other Brother Jim. No, the oldies on the radio, the oldie songs. The 50s and 60s. I don't know if we got any of the swing era in 1940s or not. If you have, praise God. But the oldies. And sometimes you can hear one of those songs and instantly you're transformed back to a time in your life when your t-shirt was rolled up on your arm and your arm was hanging out the window to make it look big when you pressed against the side of the truck. Driving up to the Tasty Freeze with a dollar and a half in your pocket. Just because that song kind of takes you back. They say that sound is very important sense. Sometimes you can hear things and it immediately transforms. How many sometimes will just close your eyes to a melody or something that's playing soft? Penny has a noise machine other than me. The batteries have to be replaced in that one. But it's because it drowns out my snoring. And some of it is like a babbling creek, a running water, or a thunderstorm, thunder shower. Y'all wake up. But you hear that, and you can just close your eyes, and you think you're somewhere under a tin roof sleeping away as that rain pitter-patters on the roof. Out of all of those wonderful sounds, she plays something called white noise. Because that's the loudest thing that's on there. Because that's the only thing that she's found that will actually drown out my snoring. But point being, the sounds can make memories come alive. I've often said I've never been able to hear the voice of God audibly. He has put thoughts in my spirit and in my mind and in my heart, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, what I'm referring to. Sometimes God speaks to me in the marquee signs that I drive down the road. Sometimes God speaks to me in a song that I hear on the radio. Sometimes God speaks to me just out of the blue and places a thought in my mind. But I cannot stand here to say today and tell you I have actually audibly heard the voice of God. But in that better place. I said, in that better place. John said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, imagine when we hear the voice of all creation in that better place. My. Glory to God. Moses got up on a mountain and God was able to transform a tablet of stone into 10 commandments. And it was so blessed for Moses that when he came down, they had to put a veil over his face because he had been in the midst of the Shekinah power of Almighty God. But in that better place, we won't have to wear our veil. We'll be able to hear audibly the voice of God as He speaks to us forever and ever and ever in a better place. In a better place. And He will be with them. And they shall be His people. Glory to God. I want to pause here for just a moment and say, as exciting and as wonderful the expectation we have to be able to see Jesus Christ, I would believe that He is just as excited and expectation just as high to have His people with Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I go away to prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. But I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the Comforter in my name. Thank God for the Comforter. But when we get to heaven, we are His people. Glory to God. And He's going to remove every bad thought out of our spirit. We're going to have a glorified body. Praise God. Oh, can you imagine a glorified body? One that will have the energy. One that will have the vigor. One that will have the great opportunity of praising the Lord forever and ever and ever in a better place. A better place. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Several years ago, a very good friend of mine, and Billy knows him well. He calls him Hot Rod, I think, Rodney Stamps. Very close friend of mine, very, very good Christian, wonderful man of God, friend that would do anything in the world. He and I would talk. Rodney had the misfortune, if you call it, to lose a teenage girl in a horrific accident many, many years ago. I think she was just 16 when she passed away from this terrible automobile wreck. And he and I would talk so many times about our time to catch up in heaven. And he would talk about he wanted to not only see Jesus and love Him and thank Him, and certainly that is first and foremost in every Christian, every true believer's life and desire is to thank Jesus. But he said, I know I'm going to have an eternity. He said, but I'm going to need a long time to catch up with my daughter that I've not seen for many, many years. And I don't know. I don't know how heaven's going to be. I don't know exactly what the body's going to be look like. I said, so you'll be known as you are known. Who knows what that means? I believe a spiritual kind of a way that we'll know one another. I know one thing. I'm going to know Jesus. And in my expectation, I think I'm going to know my loved ones. I don't know what they're going to look like, but I think I'm going to know them, amen, because that's how wonderful heaven's going to be. And he said, we're just going to be catching up on time and just kind of, you know, sit down by the river, or the Crystal River or whatever. And I said, well, that's wonderful. And I said, if you happen to go by, and if there is a vacant lot in heaven, and I don't know, if there is a vacant lot, I said, if you see two people out there playing ball, riding bicycles, doing whatever, said, just leave me and Kevin alone. Because we're going to be catching up. Amen. Because of this next verse. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Every tear that you've ever cried in your life is going to be wiped away from your memory banks. There'll be no sadness there. I don't even believe we'll know who didn't make it, because that would be sad. But God Himself. Sister Brenda, you ever go to your mama when you was crying, a little girl, and she'd put her arms around you, and she'd take her little handkerchief or whatever, sometimes just her, and she'd wipe those tears, and, hey, honey, everything's going to be okay. Why do God does it? When He just wipes all the pain out of your life, all the bad memories, all the tears, it's no more. Not in this place, because this is a better place. And there shall be no more death. No more death. There's no more separation. Not only is there going to be a reunion of those loved ones who are already gone, but there'll be no more death. Death will not enter that better place that John the Revelator is describing. My Lord, how glorious. Neither sorrow nor crying. And I thought how unique it was that he referred to tears and crying both in the same passage of Scripture. I think the tears are from all of the history. And I think the crying is that there'll be no evil, no bad, no problems in our future. Down here we don't know what the future holds, but in a better place, we'll know that the future holds no crying, according to the Word of God. No sadness, no sorrow. Neither shall there be any more pain. Boy, that ought to make some of us jump up and praise the Lord and jump a bench or two. Say, Brother Eddie, I will when I get over there, but right now I don't believe I can do it. I feel your pain, brother. But in a better place. I said, in a better place. You're going to run and not be weary. You're going to walk and not faint. Even be able, we might even be able to mount up with wings as eagles. You ever had that dream of flying? Yeah, anybody ever had that dream? Yes. I've had that dream of just gravitational pull just leaving me and then just flying like everything. Don't ever have that nightmare of falling. You'll end up on the floor. Oh, that was a good dream. But I have had that dream of just that gravitational pull just losing and just floating. One of these days in a better place. I might just fly over at Brother Jim's house. Isn't that wonderful? That'd be good. There should be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. The former things. Every injustice, every ill thought, every hurt feeling, whatever that we have had to experience in this mortal body, is going to be gone in that better place. Child of God, don't get adjusted to this pain. Don't get adjusted to this turmoil. The Bible says it's temporal, meaning it's temporary. But the better place is eternal. The better place is ongoing. Imagine a place where there is no end. Imagine a place where there's no time, no clocks, no schedules, no destinations. Glory to God. Just praising God forever and ever and ever. My, no wonder they call it heaven. What's the song? Some call it heaven. Some call it paradise. I call it home. How many's looking forward to having your home in a better place? Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that better place. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your coming. And thank you, Lord, for the promise that you will not absolutely put more on us than we are able to bear. And one of these days, that heavy load is going to be shaken off our backs. We're going to enter into that new Jerusalem glorifying and praising God. Would you stand? Hallelujah. But until that day, how many know sometimes we still have pain? How many knows until that day, sometimes we still have misfortune in our life. We still have burdens to bear. But you know what? God is able to sustain us. So if you need prayer tonight, please come forward. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there one tonight? Is there any who has a prayer need tonight? Come. While this beautiful spirit of praise and worship is in this sanctuary, let us pray. If not, if you have just a request, just let it be known by the lifting of your hand so that this pastor can see, and I'll be praying for that request. I won't ask you any information about it. God knows, and I'll just believe with you. Brother Jim, would you come? Dismiss us with a word of prayer. God bless you. I appreciate you coming out on a Wednesday night. May God bless you. It's our prayer.